there. So let the Lord, oh, let the Lord have his way. When the road seems so rough and the valleys so low and the mountain seems so high, you cannot climb. Look up high and see the crown awaiting over there. So let the Lord, oh, let the Lord have his way. Oh, let the Lord have his way. Let the Lord have his way. Put your hand into his hand and let him lead. Look up high and see the crown awaiting over there. So let the Lord, oh, let the Lord have his way. When I think of men of old, I think of Noah, a man of God. He was told to build the ark by the Lord. This he did without complaint, and he was saved from the floods because he let the Lord have his way. Let the Lord have his way. Let the Lord. Look up high and see the crown awaiting. Let the Lord, oh,
turn to page 217 in the spiral book. It is no secret what God can do. The chimes of times ring out the news. Another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I bring hope to you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. No secret what God can do. There is no light, for in his light you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. take him at his promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can.
Would you mind helping us with the offering?
Bless for the way that he's studying, Lord, bring us the word, and bless the offering that we give back to you, Lord, just now. Bless the remainder of this service, we pray and ask in your name.
Amen. Let's turn to page 634. We sing "I'm in this church," that little chorus.
I'm in this church, this glorious church. I did not join, no, I was born, I had a new birth. Some glorious day, gonna sail away. It's by his grace, not by my works. I'm in this church. I'm in this church, this glorious church. I did not join, no, I was born, I had a new birth. Some glorious day, gonna sail away. It's by his grace, not by my works. I'm in this church, I'm in this church, this glorious church. I did not join, no, I was born, I had a new birth. Some glorious day, gonna sail away. It's by his grace, not by my works. I'm in this church. Oh, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll overcome, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll reach my home, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Glory, glory, this I sing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. All my praise for this I bring, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Change the order of service now as Brother Wade comes out.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. I am lifted up, oh, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be back. Good to be alive. Good to be well. Amen. All right, by the way of announcements, let's get all that out of the way. And I've got about six questions that has been asked by some of you in the sanctuary. So I'm going to answer them today on what we've been speaking of, because I believe If you have a question in your mind, you really can't go much further than that question if you don't get an answer. Because that question's always going to be right there, and you know who's going to step in, and he's going to try to give you an answer, and he's always right there first. You know, that other guy. And I did make a boo-boo last Sunday, and I'm glad y'all caught it. I said God is here to deceive, and I meant the God of this evil age is here to deceive. So I'm glad you picked that up. If you didn't, then just take it to my ignorance. You knew what I was talking about. I was talking about the deceiver. God will never deceive you. Zero. I think I said that in the sermon. God will never deceive you. He's not in the deceiving business. He cannot deceive. But the other guy can. And that's his job, is to deceive. So I guess you know now, Brother Dale's got tested positive for COVID, so he's going to be about 10 days quarantine. So Brother Aaron will be speaking Wednesday night. I'll be doing both services next Sunday. And I think the next Wednesday will be 10 days, so we'll find out and see how that goes. Pray for Brother Luis. He's at Brother Burley's preaching today. And pray for him on his way back. Brother Dale called and wants to go back to phase 1.2, which means these people are the only people to be in the sanctuary or in the building on Wednesday and probably Sunday. That would be Brother Joe Canada, Brother Anderson, Brother Bob, Brother Aaron, obviously, if he's going to preach, myself and Brother Terrence, Brother Luis, Brother Josh, Brother Boyd, Brother John Durrett, and Brother Richard Roberts, and Brother Danny Fountain. So that will be the only ones that will attend Wednesday night, just to make sure that we shake this thing out a little bit more. There are several churches. Brother William Borlevon just sent us a text and said that their church is shut down. They've got 35 or so people, something like that, that have it. Now Brother Tim Pruitt's had to close his church because several of them have it. Brother Jason Jackson's church had like 40 or 50 people that had it. They're doing better. I just text Brother Jason back there. He's always been asking about mom and dad, so I told him about his wife still has it, but she's getting over it. So, and he had it, so he's got over it. So I think if we'll just, just my opinion, here we go. I'm like Trump. I'll get myself in trouble. Don't inject yourself with Clorox. But if we'll get this thing out of here, I think we go through it one time and we'll get it all done. Instead of us being, it's like a pinball machine, you know. But we serve a God. We serve a God that said, whatever you need, I've already got a cure for. There's a bomb in Gilead, brothers and sisters, and I'm telling you, that's where I think, like Brother Bob was saying this morning, that's something God wants us to rely on Him. Doctors are good. Medicine is good. But we know who the healer is. And He said He'd never leave us or forsake us. He said He would take care of us. If we go through these things, it's for our good. Amen. If you're a child of God, it's for our good. So all these things will be for our good. So just remember, Brother Aaron will be preaching Wednesday night. And these brothers will be here on Wednesday. Okay. So God bless you. These are trying times, but you know what? It's not just us. It's all around the world. And as Brother Chris was talking about Wednesday night, the whole world's groaning now. Yes. Not just the United States, not just Louisville, Georgia, not just church. Every country in the world is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Amen. So that's me and you. So there's got to be something we've got to do. Amen. So, and it's all found in the Word of God. It's not in the creed. It's not in the dogma. It's right here in the Word of God. Amen. And thank God He sent us a prophet to filter that through and to give us the exact answer to whatever we need. So God bless you. Let's bow our heads. We'll read 1 John 4 before we get started. Hey, you like that black background, T? Can y'all see that better back there? I think you can. It just kind of pops out. So this is good. I don't like to use black. Darkness. But to bring light out, Brother Brown said what? The law of contrast. The light shines brighter when there's darkness. So we're going to read it just like this. I think I like that good. So let's go to the author and talk to him for a second. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. You've heard all the requests, Lord. We thank Sister Cleta there, Lord, for being among us for this period of time, Lord. And you give her good health, and I pray that you just continue to touch her, Lord. And what a monument of faith, Lord, to have being in that part of her life, Lord, and still being able to function and do the things, Lord. You've been really, really, really good to her, Father. And we pray that you'd continue that, be with each one of us. Just take care, Lord, Brother Dale. Give him strength, Lord. You're Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha. You're all the compound names of Jehovah, Lord. But you're more than that. You're inside of each one of us, ready to do what we ask, Lord. And I pray that you would just, according to your word, Lord, that you would take that thing away from him, Lord, and everything will be fine. We know man tells us we have to do the little things that we do of the quarantine and the washing of hands and mask and all that, Lord. But we know that you are the healer. When it comes to the very end, you are the healer. Nothing else heals except you, Father. We pray that you just be with us now. Take care of us in the furtherment of this service. Be with the little bride around your world, Lord, the ones we just mentioned. Brother Ron, Sister Connie, Lord, now we hear Sister Nancy, bless her heart, Lord, that you just touch her, Father, up there in Virginia. Be with each one, Lord, Brother Jason's wife, and Brother Frank McCommons, Lord, he's having a little trouble with it, and all the brothers, Lord, the brother there, Brother Oglesby, and the different ones from Brother Tim Pruitt's church, Lord, we pray that you would just sanctify us, Lord. We got a journey. We got this thing. We got to get this thing done, and it's going to take your little bride, Lord, and we may be bereft. We may be physically bereft, as you said. We may be out of food, but Lord, make us strong in our bodies, Lord. Lord, lift us up, Lord, and we'll lift you up for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to read this 1 John, and we're going to take, if we get to it today, we'll get to it. If not, we'll get to it next week. We want to talk about twins. Now remember, if we just preached on having a revival, and we had a revival, and each one of there's revivals in each one of them. If you get an opportunity, Brother Luis doesn't promote this, but I would like to tell you, he has a podcast called 10,000 Worlds. Remember Brother Brown said one soul is worth 10,000 worlds. So he has a podcast, and he has different brothers on the podcast to speak and to give their testimony. Well, he did one with Brother Zach Black and Brother Michael Panungwe, and just, you need to watch it. Amen. Amen? You need to watch it and see what God's done in these young brothers' lives. But it's 10,000 worlds, and you can find that podcast. I think it's on YouTube, isn't it? Is it on YouTube? Yes, on YouTube. So watch that. I would, and he's had several different ministers, and Brother Keith Brown. He does a lot of ministering to people overseas, too, in Spanish, but he does talk, you know, interview people here in the United States. So Brother Burley Williams and different ones. So 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Satan can do nothing to the soul of a born-again believer. Can't touch it. It's like a hot burning coal, hotter than he's ever felt in his life, if he tries to do anything to us. But you know what? We're sealed in. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And you may be seated in the Lord at his blessing. We'll stop right there and then read the rest in a little bit. We'll answer some of these questions. And I think they've got them where they can pull them up on the screen. But I was, to finish my comment, we've been preaching on revival. And I think we've been having a revival in certain people, certain homes and different things. And Brother Brown said what? When you have a revival, it always produces twins. Okay, so we've got twins here today. If we confess that we're in a revival, then the other guy's going to be here. There was two twins born. And remember, those twins, you can't birth twins out of two different wombs. Every twin that's born comes from the same womb. Amen? Eve, Esau and Jacob, all the different twins. Now, we know when you come down to Jesus and Judas, that didn't happen. But that's a type. Okay, but now all the ones that we're going to talk about in a little while come from the same womb. Amen. Brother Branham said, a holy mother and father, and here comes Jacob and Esau. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. It came from the same womb. So it's not that it comes from the womb. It's just that they have two different spirits that what affect each one. All right, so here's five questions, and I want to answer these. And I tell you, if you ever have a question, write them down, because questions to me helps you move forward with God. If you sit there today with a question in your mind, then what's going to happen? You're going to stay right there. That question's going to be right there until God either answers the question, or Brother Brown said he would put somebody in the pulpit to answer your question. All right. So let's remember now, when we get started, I want you to remember one thing. I should have spoke on this to begin with, because the Bible is written in symbols. Amen. Remember, somebody preached on that not too long. Symbols and allegories. Now, let me read what an allegory is. An allegory is a story, a poem, or a picture that can be interpreted to reveal a hidden meaning. Typically a moral or political one. Pilgrim's Progress is an allegory of the spiritual journey. All right, so when we look and we see that Moses wrote the book of Genesis and the Exodus and all the different ones, he did speak and write in symbols and allegory. Look at the book of Revelations. The book of Revelations is, Brother Brown preached, the book of symbols. And that symbol represented something else. Amen? Same way with an allegory. So if we look at these allegories and symbols in the book of Genesis, to me, it was to hide it from the wise and prudent and to reveal it, just as you and I know for a fact what happened in the garden. I knew what happened in the garden when I was 14 years old. I was coming of age, and I read what Brother Brown said, and I read what the Bible said. And I'm like, no, there's no fruit, apple, apricot, pear, going to mess me up. Except I eat too much of them. And that's just Brother Jesus, you know what he said? He said, it's not what goes in, because it goes out through the draught. Amen? But it's what goes in here. Amen? So we're talking about allegories and symbols here today, because some of the questions are, like, number one, how did God form the process man from his spoken word? Now, we can answer that by Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Listen, we serve a God that he doesn't need, he's so far above a scientist, because a scientist needs what? Needs something.
Yes.
Some kind of chemical. Some kind of this, some kind of iron, some kind of, they need something to put together to create a reaction. God does not. Amen. The same way he formed man is the same way he formed the world. Amen. By the spoken word of God. And that formed, and I want to say this too, if you want to, this comes from Genesis 2:7, and thank God for a prophet. Now, if you read what the prophet said, you'd answer that question for you. Talking about Genesis 2:7, God formed man out of the dust of the earth. He said, Adam looked like a tree with his feet like roots. I can just see, I've been to the, that pottery place is right across the road, and I grew up in the pottery business, because that was my first job, was getting the pottery out of the kiln. But you watch them, they take this big wad and they just throw it down on a wheel, turn the wheel on, and they start forming it with their hands. And you know what? They'll mash it like this, and then when they start here, that brings up the side of the bowl. and they form it. Well, see, I can see God do the same thing. Same way that God walked up one day and said, all right, I want to take Michael and Gabriel, and we're going to go visit Moses. Brother Brown said God just took 16 elements and just kind of sprinkled it and walked through it. Well, when he did, it just formed a body. To me, that's the same way Adam was. Adam was there. God formed this body, and then he put Adam inside that body. It's human body just like this, but you know what? Where did we come from? We were formed in the womb. But we were formed by what was eat by your mama and your daddy. Amen? So there's nothing new under the sun. You came from the same earth Adam did, basically the same, except God formed Adam. And then as a grown man, you and I had to come as a baby because of what we're talking about, because of the fall. So everybody got that? So God formed man, the same process as Hebrews 11. And then the Bible tells us, how can we talk to the potter? How can we tell the potter, why'd you make me this way? He's the former. He's the one. And you know why he formed you the way you are? Because if you're a child, if you're a son and daughter of God, that's the way you looked in his attribute. As Brother Chris was talking about Wednesday night, that he saw you. You and I, as men and women, we didn't see our children before we had them because we're what? We're finite. But he's infinite. He knew that Michael Panungwe would wait till he was 19 years old or whatever age he is. And that's the way he's going to look. And that was what God had in his mind. And as Brother Bob was talking about the miracle that we keep talking about, of how God had that image in his mind, and he had to bring great, 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 great grandma, grandpa all the way down. Get them over here to make him. To form that image that God already saw before the foundation of the world. Boy, what a wonderful God. So how did God form? The process he formed him was the same as what Brother Brown said. He said it looked like Adam was like roots. Because remember, I told you the Bible said men, I see men as trees. We're upright beings as trees. And that God just, I believe he just twisted some 16 elements of the earth, and he just put a soul inside that man called Adam, and he just started walking around. How simple is that? But you and I had to be formed a little different. We had to be formed in the womb. All right, is that okay? Now, I think this second question was, I never said God didn't form Lucifer knowing what he would do. God did form Lucifer knowing what he would do. There's nothing God doesn't know. Amen. So if that question may have been asked a little bit wrong or something or misrepresented, but there's nothing God didn't know. So you can't say that he didn't know Lucifer would be that way. He knew. And Lucifer was an attribute of God, but he was not that attribute of the person of God. Everybody got that? Because the angels and all of it, they were attributes of God. He made them to worship him.
Yes.
Right? He made them to worship him. Lucifer was included. He wanted Lucifer to be the head guy. You say, well, why? He made Adam to be the head guy.
Yes.
God likes to give us, like Moses. Moses, you take too much on yourself. Well, just go divide yourself out. On the day of Pentecost, he didn't just put the Holy Ghost in one man. He put him in 120 people, women and men included,
amen,
and sent them out into the world to what? Make more of him. All right, so God didn't form Lucifer not knowing what he would do. He knew what was going to happen. But he made Lucifer perfect. I done read that. It's in the Bible. He's perfect. He was beautiful. Until iniquity was what? Found in him. Not in God. He was given a choice, just like you and I have given a choice, just like all the other angels. But he was an attribute of God, but he was not an eternal attribute of God. There is only one eternal attribute of God. There is only one Lamb's Book of Life eternal section, the prophet said. And that's what Brother Chris and I, we were talking about the other day, and he spoke on it Wednesday. That's the part Satan can't stand, he can't touch. God has set that aside, and there's no way that Lucifer can touch that. It's going to happen. His children are going to come. That's the way God had it planned, and that's the way they're going to come. And Lucifer can pervert all he wants to. But there's one group of people he cannot get And that's that Genesis 1:26, man. The bride of Jesus Christ. He cannot get us. Doesn't matter if we everyone have to die except one person. If one person stands and says, I'm not going to die. I'm going to speak and all these are going to come out of the grave. It doesn't matter if it's one person. Satan's not going to win because guess what? I think Satan can go anywhere he wants to except that sixth dimension. Because remember, that's what Brother Brown said, that's perfect love. Yes. Satan don't have that. Right. Satan doesn't have perfect love, isn't perfect love. He's a perverted love. That's why he's down here in dimension 1, 2, 3, and 4 doing what he's doing. Right. He cannot get in that sixth dimension. Well, no, I love it when you know, you do a funeral. I did part of Brother Richard Marlowe's funeral. You know, you take the death angel, and you know, most time death angel, he's going to take him to the fifth dimension because that's where the biggest path is. If you don't believe that, you need to believe. Brother Branham said you have an angel, a death angel, and you have an angel that comes and takes you across the river. You have an angel that does this because you're breaking over another dimension. Your body's still here.
Yes.
But what about when a saint, that's why the Bible says we need to rejoice when a saint goes home. Amen. We need to rejoice. Why? Because he's going or she's going over into a place that Satan knows nothing about. He knows all the other ones. But he doesn't know anything about that one. And when the death angel shows up, I believe then all of a sudden here comes this white light in and says, I think I'll take this one. This one's going where I don't think you even know where it's at. Yeah, I'm taking this one in the sixth dimension. You can have all those other ones you want, but I'm taking that one. What a mighty God we serve, even in death. That's why Paul said, death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? Why? Brother Brown said, I was afraid of death at one time. He said, but when I went across that curtain of time, he said, no, never again will I be afraid of death. All right? So God did know, he did form Lucifer knowing what he would do, but he didn't form Lucifer to do what he did. Everybody got that? If he did, listen, God is a judge. He's a righteous judge. And to be a judge, you have to have two opposing views. Right? A defense and a prosecution. Right? So everything, when you walk up to the white throne judgment, we don't have to, but if somebody walks up, there's going to be a time where God says, I contacted you and you turned me down. He's already saw what Lucifer's done. So Lucifer, that's why the Bible said he's already judged.
Amen.
He's just going straight into the lake of fire. Why? Because back before time, he did what he was going to do. And he took part of the angels with him. And they're going with him also. All right? So everybody got that? Say amen. So that was number two. I think that was just a slip of maybe I said it, but I don't think I did. But God did form Lucifer knowing what he would do. Because there's nothing God doesn't know. If not, he's not God. Amen? All right. Now, number three, I need to explain that because I told you last Sunday that the apex of both spirits are sitting here today. Now, what is the apex of both spirits? Let's go to Matthew 24:24. Let me read this. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. See, that's the apex. You're so close here in the end time. I've been studying a little bit more. And man, you ought to get a little bit closer to where, you know, like I said, Judas stood right there at the night before the crucifixion. And nobody knew he was the devil. Only Jesus Christ knew. Only the Son of Man. And then we look at this, we see this same, you say, apex sitting here. So the apex of both is sitting here. What is the difference in the other ages? Let me just go through that real quick. Because Jesus Christ was the Son of Man. Is that all right? Say amen. There's nothing else on there. You're going to have to listen to me. Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. He was the headstone to the church. He was the one that established the church. And he was the headstone. Amen? Which is what? Headstone, the apex. That's that little pyramid right up there at the very top. But he had to become the chief cornerstone on the day of Pentecost as the Son of God.
Yes.
Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
As the Son of God through the church ages, through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, But in the end time, he's got to come back as what? The Son of Man. So instead of being just the cornerstone, he was the, you know, upon this rock I'll build my church. He built his church on what? Revelation. So you come up to right here, and this Elijah, as we were talking yesterday, or today, one, this Elijah is supposed to turn our hearts back. Amen. Remember, this messenger of Malachi 4 is to do two things. Yeah. Restore back, what? Restore us back to here, because you got to go back to the foundation of the faith of the fathers. Go up this pyramid. Me and Brother Joe was talking about, somebody was preaching on it. Thank God people are preaching on the statue of a perfect man after all these years. But right here's where you and I, that's the apex. What was the apex of God? Jesus Christ. You said, no, the Father. It was the Father made manifest. You and I didn't get saved by the Father. We got saved by the Son, which is the same person, but just in another form. But we look to him knowing that that Son of Man had to come on earth, die in human flesh. Because remember, God can't die as a spirit. So the Son of God can't die. The Son of Man died, and we can relate to that, and we relate to that man hanging on the cross, and that's the apex of God. His whole plan and purpose was to die so that you and I could be saved. But all during the other church ages, it wasn't required. I was listening this morning. Brother Bradham was preaching on Satan's Eden. You know, all Satan's got to do is he can quote you now 100% of the word. Because you know what he says? He says, okay, you need to do like Wesley and just quit your drinking and smoking and make sure you come to church. Sit on the front row. Lead a little singing. And you're fine. See, now that was fine in Wesley's age. That's what Brother Brown was talking about. That was fine in Wesley's age. And if Satan can get you to believe that that's where you need to be, and that's your Holy Ghost, he's got you. Quoting you 100% of the word. But he placed it in the wrong place. Because sanctification under Wesley will not even get us born again. So see, we have to move now. Doesn't say that you know, the Satan denied the word. No. He said, oh yeah, you're good. You know what? You come here with this eternal thing in you, and why, you just come to church and you just believe. Brother Branham was a prophet. And just believe that and just sit right there. This statue of perfect man. Now, once saved, always saved. You got it. Everything's fine. You're born again. See how close that is? But if you're born again in this age, you're not only going to have the new birth, but you're going to desire and have to go up that statue of perfect man. Because the apex of all the word. What does apex mean? As far as you can go here. As far as we can go on this earth, folks, is this message.
Yes.
And if we're not in it 100%, we can't be in Luther. We can quote them. But we can't be in Luther, Wesley, or Pentecost. We've got to do what Brother Brown said. This messenger of Malachi 4 does two things. Turns the heart back to the original faith and brings what? The seven seals, the seven thunders. What is that? Who was the seal? Jesus Christ, he was the head. We're looking at headship now. We're looking at the headstone. Not sure we're the body of Jesus Christ, but we've got to bring, the Bible says, bring the headstone crying what? Grace. Grace unto it. That's what this age is for. I'm telling you. As Brother Bob was saying this morning, just sitting here even having the new birth is not good in this age. It's okay. You're born again. But you can die. A baby will die if you don't feed it. But if you'll feed it good food and then work its way up to meat, from milk, work its way up to meat, then what? You can be a fully developed human being. Using an allegory. Same way with your new birth. You start as a little baby. Wah, 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 wah. Right? When a baby cries, listen, Zoe and Kaylee, I remember when they were born. I remember actually when Esther was born. Zach too. Me and Mom was talking about it the other night. Oh Lord. But anyway, now how'd you grow up though? You was a cute little kid. And so were they. They're all just a cute bunch of little kids. But you know what? If they would have just took them and set them over in a closet and said, prettiest set of twins you ever seen in your life. And they were. Put them in a closet and shut the door. They would have died. Because they didn't get fed. And then when Zoe and Kaylee started crying, you didn't shove a piece of steak in their mouth. You fed them milk. Because you ain't got no teeth. But Paul said, eating strong meat, having left all that, let's go to the apex. Now remember, Paul didn't reach the apex. He was looking to it. We use his words, which is the word of God. We use his words, his sermons, his all the different writings in the New Testament to reach the apex, but he never reached it. But he was looking at it. He said, looking to the author and finisher of our faith. He said, I know there's a people that's coming. Amen. And we're here. This is it. There is no other person besides us. So that's why we're the apex. Even when God goes to the Jews, he's going to reveal himself as Jesus Christ, but not in the way of us because he's our husband. We are intimate with him now. That's the intimacy between the head and the body, uniting. Not going to happen in Israel. They're not going to get him as husband. They're going to get him as redeemer. Now, we get him as redeemer, but we learn to know him as husband. Amen? And so that's wonderful that we are looking at the apex of all things. And the apex is sitting here even in the other part, the other guy. Because it's so close. He's not out there. He's right here telling you, you're fine. Yeah, it's just, you're good. You're good. Don't you just feel good today? Boy, that sermon with Brother Bob this morning, man, that was, of course, some of you slept through it, but that's okay. But, yeah, it wasn't that so good. That was good. But what did it do for you? Eat it. John, eat the book. See, there's another allegory, and we're going to get to a question down here. Why does the Bible say the woman saw the tree was good for food? Come on, we got to quit being so carnal. Food is a sustainer. Amen. We eat spiritual food. Brother Brown preached a message, spiritual food in due season. Amen. Now, what are we going to do with it? Throw it in the corner? No, we're going to eat it. Absolutely. I planted a wonderful garden this year. We're eating. We're feasting off of that garden. Brother Dale has planted many, many wonderful gardens. Amen. And we're eating that food that's come off of it. Brother Brown preached 1,100 yes. gardens Amen. That things could grow out of that we can what? Eat. We come to church every Sunday to eat. All right, let's get down through here. So that's number three, the apex. Number four, why did Eve need to go get her husband if they were equal? Let's read Genesis 3, verse 6. They don't have it here, but I'm going to read it. We're going to read it in a minute if we ever get to it. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eye. Remember, allegories, symbols. There's not a tree that's good that's pleasing to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both, this is the answer to question number five too, and the eyes of them both were open, so they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now let's read the question. Why did Eve need to go get her husband if they were equal? Now remember, she was still a female and he was still a male. Everybody got that? Amen. Even in the form before the fall, they walked around on the planet Earth naked, and he had his part and she had her part, but they had the Holy Ghost veil over them to keep them from being what? Carnal. Like I said before, you take a 2-year-old boy and a 2-year-old girl, put them in a bathtub, they can play all day long, and they have nothing to fear, and you have nothing to fear. Right. Wait about 15 years later, and don't ever do that. Amen. Right? What changed? Their carnal mind. The carnal mind's what changed, because they still had everything they needed right then. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Amen. All right? So why did Eve need to go get her husband? Why? She wanted to present him. Remember, the devil preached her a sermon and beguiled her. Well, she went and said, told the same thing to Adam, because remember what happened when God came down. God said, Adam, what have you done? Who told you you were naked? He said, my wife. And then she said, well, what's wrong with you? She said, the beast. See, they went down the line. Well, they had to come this way in the line to start with. Everybody got that? And Brother Brown even makes it so specific. He said she was with the beast in the morning and with Adam in the afternoon. Now, you go talk to him if you need to talk to him about that, okay? But I believe what a prophet said. Then he takes it to the case in the 1964, I think it was, or somewhere, where the white lady had relations with a black man in the morning and her husband in the evening, and they had a set of twins, and they were not the same. One was black, one was white. Everybody, we knew that. All right. So why did Eve need to go get her husband? She was giving him some revelation. That's what got him in trouble. It should have went reverse the other way. Everybody got that? Adam, like what Brother Brown said, Adam had the intelligence. Now, it wasn't that Eve was an idiot. But Adam was what? The son of God. I believe God talked to Adam more than he did Eve. I just say that because he formed Adam first. Then Eve. Because remember, Eve was deceived, Adam wasn't. So when she presented the product to him, now I don't agree, because I have a quote either here at home, and I always keep it there, because you know, you hear these people with these doctrines of the two seed lines and Adam's seed was righteous. No. Adam's literal seed is what polluted the world. Come on, people. So you can't run seed line, natural seed lines. Adam's seed polluted this entire world. Because he kept procreating too. God done away with the beast. It was Adam. You say, no, Seth. Yeah, Seth represented righteousness. But he wasn't righteous. He needed a sacrifice too. Every person since Adam needed a sacrifice. Why did Abel need one if he was so righteous? Now, I know the Bible says that he was righteous. You got to look at that, though. He's not so righteous that he was perfect and didn't need a sacrifice, because that's what got him killed, was he presented the right sacrifice. Why did he need a sacrifice for if he was perfect? He got a revelation of what happened. But Eve produced the product to Adam, and Adam said, oh, buddy. But now remember, like I said, he didn't do the natural act to preserve Eve. I believe he knew what Eve did, and she was so much a part of him, he didn't want to lose her. Isn't that what Jesus Christ did? He didn't sit here and ask you 1,000 questions why you didn't get born again when you was 12. No, he knew when you was going to get born again. And that's the intimacy between you and God, because God knew when you wanted it, when you wanted him to be your husband, your lover. Amen? So Adam couldn't destroy Eve, just like Christ couldn't destroy. Listen, he didn't destroy Israel. When Israel went whoring and did all those bad things, God didn't destroy her. He put her away. He's coming back to get 144,000 out of that.
Amen.
Same way with me and you. Lord, look at Rahab. Look at all the different things that he brought out of all that. Talking about this natural line. Lord, Rahab was in pitiful shape. She was a prostitute. She knew everybody in the whole city. Every man. But what did God do? He just wiped the whole city out and said, well, where's your accuser? He said, I don't have none. I don't know you as Rahab anymore. You're my bride. Why did Eve need to get her husband? Because she wanted to present what she had done. And once she did present, because remember, she was so deceived, she thought she was doing what God said. Everybody got that? That's what the prophet said. She was deceived. The Bible says she was deceived and not Adam. Because when she produced, I think Brother Brown said, produced the product to Adam, he knew if he didn't do something that God would kill her. So he took her and shielded her and had the act with her, knowing he was selling out the human race. But he had so much love, just like Jesus Christ didn't put you away when you was out there doing all your whoring. And I don't mind if you say, oh, yeah, we all were whores. We were whores to the devil. Amen? But Christ didn't hold that against us. He said, you're my bride. Paul said, the things I would not, I do. The things I do, I would not. That worry, but not in the soul. Your soul is either born again or it's dead. White or black. And if it's white, then yeah, Satan can play with that like he did with Eve. He can play with her memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. And what happened was, is Eve took in the womb of her mind first. Two wombs. Womb of the mind and the natural womb. The womb of the mind. Mary had to accept it in the natural womb first. Because she had to believe it. She had to believe something that never happened before. But when she said, be it unto me according to thy word, it dropped down. And God said, okay, I'll use you. Same way with me and you. When you got born again, I believe that's what you said. You said, God, be it unto me according to thy word. You said if I do all these things and get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would fill me with the Holy Ghost. And here I am. Be it unto me according to thy word. And then boom, he placed that seed. Spiritual like it should have been had there not been a fall. Because I believe Adam and Eve would have come together, not sexually. But where did Adam come from? Where did Adam and Eve come from? They come directly from the mind of God. They didn't come from the mind of their mom and daddy. They didn't have one. They came from the very Creator himself. They were part of the creation. Amen? And by the new birth, you did the same thing. That Genesis 1:26, man, is unfolding as we speak. Right here. Right here. Any of the new ones. Let us make man in our own image. It's okay, Michael. I know you got to come through your mom and your daddy because of what happened. Because what it done, it made a chasm. And we may not get to it today. But in Genesis 3:15, he says, I'll put enmity. A division. Remember when Lazarus was dead and the rich young ruler died too? What did the rich young ruler? He said, I want to go over there. And the Bible says there's a great gulf fixed. What was that gulf? Choice. They should have made it on the other side. Like who was preaching about the people? You look down at hell, they're crawling all over hell trying to get back so they can make one more choice. See what I'm saying? You cross that chasm. So in Genesis 3:15, God made a chasm. He said, I'm going to put enmity between thy seed and the seed of the woman. But what he was telling them was that that seed of the woman, which a woman doesn't have a seed, so he was going to create again a part of himself. And he was going to bridge the gap back. What a mighty God we serve. He's going to put that thing right back together. So that it doesn't matter if you come from a prostitute and a drunk. That doesn't matter. It's knowing who your daddy is from the eternal side. I wish people would get that together in the message. When Brother Brown talks about you always were eternal, you always were this seed, that is the mind of that Genesis 1:26 and 27, man. Not what came from your natural parents. Because you were born dead. Abel was born dead. Cain was born dead. Seth was born dead. Moses was born dead. May I just continue on? William Branham was born dead. Now in the mind of God, there was a place. A spot. Like Brother Branham said, talks about that button. That button's not inside you. You have no eternal life inside you because you came under your first birth. Why'd you need a new one? But look how close it is though. Satan says, well, I think you were just something special and you came with this little special something. No. You were born in sin, shaping in iniquity, spouse from your mother's womb, a liar. But I got a quote. Oh, listen, you can fight quotes all day. But the Bible says you were born in sin, shaping in iniquity. You were lost and needed a Savior.
That's
Now, whatever quote you want to mix into that, that's fine with me, but I'm going to take what the Bible says. And I believe William Branham knew what the Bible said, but what Brother Branham was doing, he was at that apex. He was up there in the mind of God telling us. Because the Bible does say if the seed remains in you, you can't sin. What? If the seed remains in you, the seed that you received when you got the new birth, not the seed that when you were born a little baby. Why does the Bible say newborn babes? Oh, to me, see, then it makes it so simple, but then everybody in the message gets it so convoluted. Who is doing that? The apex of the other guy. He's got a headstone too. He wants it to be him. I'm talking about Satan. And he wants to deceive you by less than one word now. It's 100%, but it's in the wrong place. Amen? What did Brother Bram say? He said, don't, what, misrepresent? Or put a word somewhere where it don't need to be. All right. That's all you got to do and to be one word off. Like we proved the other day. Satan said not. He quoted everything God said, but though he put that word not in it. All right. That not head. Well, that still didn't wake any of you up. All right. So why did Eve need to go get her husband? Why? Because she thought she was right. She wanted to produce the product to him and say, look, this is what we're supposed to do. I did. And then Adam's going, oh, man. But you're my wife. I can't take another one. This is me. Because she was literally him. Amen. Literally. That was of his body. So you and I, by the new birth, are literally the body of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's hard to swallow, but you need to. Okay? So five is basically the same thing. Why did Eve not realize she was naked? She didn't realize she was naked until Adam and her got together, if you read what the Bible says. The Bible says, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. All right? So that's, Eve didn't realize she was, listen, remember, Eve was deceived. Just put it there. The Bible says Eve was deceived. I read it last Sunday, but not Adam. So she, in her deception, she thought she was doing the right thing. So she was just running around like, it's like people getting born again. You know, everybody needs to get born again. Everybody ought to know this message. Why in the world don't you know what this message is? You know, Brother Brown was a prophet. So Eve was the same way, but she had took the wrong road. She took the wrong road. She thought she was right. But when she presented to Adam, Adam said, look what you've done. So he sold us out. Adam sold us out. He could have said, nope, don't want her no more, give me another one. But he couldn't because she was him. Amen. Same way with the type of Christ and the bride. So that's number five. Number six. And I have a, now remember, question number six. Why does the Bible say the woman saw that the tree was good for food? All right. Everybody got that? Because remember, Genesis 3 verse 6 says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eye. Remember allegories. There's a story here that Moses is trying to tell us without saying that it was sex. But I want to read this right to you. Listen to this. This will answer the question. Psalms 34 verse 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Taste and see. Allegory. We're eating off the body word of the Son of Man. Here, we need to know these. We should have known these things, but that's okay. Now that we know them, move a little further. Move a little higher. Everybody okay? All right. Are we good with this? Now listen to this one. John 6 verse 53 says, then when Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You're dead unless you eat of me. Jesus looked up one day in the temple and he said, I am the bread. Now, what do you do with bread? Just look at it? No, you eat it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Eat this bread. What? Allegory. John 6 verse 54, whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. Must be an allegory or we're all vampires. We got to go get Jesus' body and eat it, right? We're eating off the body word of the Son of Man. Listen, the tree was good for food because she thought she was doing what God said. That's why she thought it was good food. And if you'll understand what happened in the garden, you'll understand why she said it was good for food. Hello? All our adults are going, amen? Okay. Why does the Bible say that the woman saw that the tree was good for food? It's an allegory. Jesus said 6 verse 50, John 6, 55, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Amen. Now, boy, if you just take that as natural, then we all got to be vampires. But if you take it as an allegory that he was telling them he was good food to eat. As Satan was telling the woman, this is good food right here. Jesus Christ is saying, I'm the bread. I'm the food you need to be eating. Listen, I'm going to tell you something, folks. You and I eat off of something every day. Now, I'm not talking about natural food. We feed off some kind of food every day. Satan will feed you food and God will give you food. What is our food? The Word of God. What's his food? Everything else. Amen? And it might sound good, look good, and taste good. But it's not. So is everybody okay with that? Why does the Bible say the woman saw the tree was good for food? Why? She thought she was doing something. She thought she was progressing. She thought she was doing what God said. That's why a woman can't preach or usurp any authority, because the weaker vessel. I'm just telling you what Brother Brown said. And you should know that. You sisters should look at each other and know that you lean to emotions all the time rather than a man that's the head of the house and he has to think about all the other things, okay? So that's why God told him, said, now you'll be under headship. Listen, I love it. If I was a sister, I don't have to be a deacon. I ain't got to be a preacher. I won't be like what Brother Bob said, what sister in the message had to call her husband and ask her if she could buy a Dr. Pepper or a Mountain Dew. Now, that's a bit silly. Stupid. Brother Dale. Brother Dale said, stupid. No. But if you know what? If everybody stays in their place, it's a wonderful picture. If that woman, which is Eve, remember she wasn't Eve until after that. That's why the Bible says a woman, that woman, if she had stayed in her position, she would have been just like you and I are the bride of Christ. She would have produced Christ.
Yes.
By spiritual seed, not by natural seed. Everybody okay with that? Amen. Because there's no sex involved in a union between Christ and the bride. It's all spoken word.
Amen.
The spoken word is original seed. See how clean that is?
Yes.
It comes from the Word of God. He's standing there and he spoke the Word. And you materialized.
Yes.
His seed is his Word. Period. That's why you weren't born with a seed in you of God. Because you weren't born with the Word of God. Listen, you were born contrary to the Word.
Yes.
Number one, you were born contrary to the Word because you were born by sex. But number two, you were contrary because of the carnal mind. It's what? The Bible says the carnal mind is enmity. There's that enmity. There's that division between God and man. When what happened in the garden, God didn't destroy Adam and Eve. We'll read it here, maybe just a few minutes. We're not going to get to the twins. We'll just review a little bit. But when God stood there in Genesis 3:15, he made a promise. He said, look, Adam and Eve, I cannot fellowship with you like I have before.
That's right.
You've done a bad thing. I'm not going to kill you. But I'm going to set in motion what's going to bring you back. Amen?
Absolutely.
I'm going to set in motion because he said, I'm going to put enmity. And like Brother Bob said, from Abel to John the Baptist, that enmity stayed there inside the soul of man. Now we know in the Old Testament their lives were covered by the blood of bulls and goats. Now remember, covered. And they will be, you might say, children of God, Moses, Elijah, even all those great. But listen, folks, those people were not part of Genesis 1:26. That's why that's so special. That's an eternal part. Moses was not an eternal person while he was on earth. Zach Black is. All of you with the new birth today, you are an eternal person walking in time by the new birth. Because you received an eternal part of God. That Genesis 1:26. Moses never received that. Oh, now John the Baptist, Brother Wade, he received the Holy Ghost. He wasn't born again. Because Jesus told him, he said, the least in the kingdom was greater than John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist received an anointing. Everyone, listen, all the Old Testament saints, they received anointings to write the Word of God. The mind of God came down, dropped down to them, but listen, it lifted off and Moses could make a mistake. David could make a mistake. All these different ones could have flaws in the Old Testament. But when you come up to the day of Pentecost, Peter walks out and he says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. He couldn't say that when Jesus was there. Remember, he was scared, running. He was trying to whip people and cut their ears off. And he was trying to take stuff, you know, with a natural sword. But what happened right after the day of Pentecost? Peter didn't walk out with a sword. He walked out with the word. Amen. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have that I got up in that upper room, I'm fixing to give it to you. Rise up and walk. He didn't have that before. But look at the mighty miracles that was in the Old Testament. Many, many mighty miracles by people that were not the children. I'm talking about the progeny. You're the progeny of God. If you're born again today, you are the progeny. You have a piece of God.
Yes.
Inside of you. That was that gene that Chris was talking about Wednesday that screamed out, we're going to be lost, but I'm going to save you. We're going to be sick, but I'm going to heal you. How wonderful. He wasn't talking about a separate person. He's talking about what was groaning inside of God. What was groaning inside of God was me and you. To be released into this world, to show the world that he could do it. And Satan hates that because he can't do it. He can anoint. But he can't get inside of that soul once you're born again. Talk about a seal. See, when we see this, when the seal's open, it reveals Christ. But where does it reveal Christ is? In you! That's the whole seal. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of your redemption. Satan can't get there. He can't open that boxcar. You know why? Because Michael's standing at the lock. And Michael's already whipped him one time. He can whip him again. Satan knows that. He just kind of turns and walks off and goes what? Goes tried to find. Because remember, what did he tell God when he talked about Job? He said, where you been, Satan? He said, oh, I've been up and down the earth, you know, two and three. What you been doing? Trying to get James Colley. Trying to get Kathy Gabriel. He said, too much. Man, I ain't never felt fire like that before. But he'll find somebody. Because he'll have his subjects. And that's all right. But you and I were born by the breath of Almighty God. Amen. And Satan can't touch that. All right, let's... Now, since we answered those questions for almost an hour, but that's good. If you got any more questions, write them down. Because what happened in the garden is really important for us to understand how God, that was part of his plan. Amen. And Brother Brown said he had a plan and a purpose and he was going to achieve it. Now remember, he was going to achieve it in the Garden of Eden if Eve hadn't done what she did. But all it done was put enmity. Because remember, God didn't come out and say, all right, Eve, you're destroyed. Adam, you're destroyed. No, what did he do? He said, all right, Adam, from this day forward, you're going to have to dig taters. Eve, you're going to have to be under subjection to Adam, and you're going to have his children, and you're going to be in sorrow and childbearing, and you're going to have your 28-day cycle, and you're going, that's your fall. But he didn't destroy them. He cursed the ground. He cursed Eve's body. But he couldn't curse her soul. God can't curse your soul. If you're born again today, the curse has been dismissed. I wish we could realize that. You say, no, I'm still looking at, yeah, you're looking at part that comes because of the curse, but what about that guy inside? We are not fallen man anymore. It's been reversed. The chasm has been crossed. God and man, as Brother Dale said, has kissed.
Yes.
But what happened when they reunited? Me and you came. When God and man, when God came down and become a man, is when he reunited with me and you. Because Genesis 3:15 said, I'll put enmity between thy seed and the seed of the woman. Who was the seed of the woman? Christ. He bridged the gap back. He said, oh, Satan, you may bruise my heel. You can't kill somebody by bruising them in the heel. But he said, I'll bruise your head. He gave old Satan a whack across the head when he come out of that tomb and said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Amen. Satan was like, what? Where did that come from? I thought I had him down there in that other dimension. He said, now, he said, actually, you know what? He said, I own that too. He said, I got the keys. I got the keys. You don't really own anything down there, buddy. You just stay down there where you're... Anyway. See how God done that for us? Amen. He sent us a prophet to tell us exactly what to word. He sent us a prophet to tell us. I was thinking the other day, you know the quote, and I can't remember all of it, where Brother Brown, where he goes into the scripture and he says, till he be taken out of the way. Now, nowhere in the Bible you would think, well, now that, especially like Genesis, I mean, Revelation 10 verse 1, the mighty angel. Well, you would think God would be a capital A and it would be this. He said, oh, that's Christ. He said, shall he be taken out of the way? And he even talks about the bride. He who letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, we didn't have a clue who them he's were. But Brother Brown brings it right in there and tells us exactly. And once you see it, you go, they ain't no other way it could be. That's why Brother Brown, I believe, he tapped into that mind of God. But when he left this earth, folks, he didn't shut it. Because remember, it's an open book. John eat an open book. And you and I are that open book. Amen? So now let's continue with the sermon now for another... We got about six more pages of notes. But thank you for asking the questions. If you have any more, please bring them and we'll try to answer them. There's always a Bible answer to everything. You go in the Bible, but you have to look at the allegories. And like Brother Dale told me when I first started reading Daniel 70 weeks, he said, look, he said, this is kind of like an allegory or this is a story, but it has an underlying meaning. Well, see, the whole Bible's that way. When you talk about Rahab and you talk about her marrying an Israeli general, well, you can take that and type it all the way over where Jesus was talking to the woman that they threw her down and said, this woman's been caught in adultery. Well, what'd Jesus do? He just got rid of her accusers. And he said, what have you done? She said, where's your accuser? She says, I have none. He said, in other words, I didn't see you do it. So go and sin no more. That's what he did with you at the new birth. You throwed all your sins down, and once he forgive you, Zach, of all your sins, buddy, don't lay them back down there again. You've already laid them down. God says, I didn't see you do them. I'm looking through the blood. I hear you crying out to me for forgiveness. He doesn't see our dirty sin. He hears our voice. Our voice that says, forgive me, Lord. And he instantly does the same thing as he did with Rahab and all that. He got rid of your accusers. Who's your accuser? That number spirit number two. He's always going to accuse you of everything. All right, let's don't go to Ezekiel. Let's don't go to Genesis 1:26. Let's read the first quote, an exposition of the seven church ages. I'll get to the twins Sunday. All right, look, Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation show how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, make it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. Now see, that started in the first church age when Paul said grievous wolves will come among you and are already here, in other words. But look how Satan has developed over 2,000 years since the day of Pentecost. He's had 2,000 years to perfect his game. God's plan's already been perfected before the foundation of the world. But watch how it exposes Satan, revealing his work, the attempted destruction of God's people and the discrediting of God's word. Right down to the time he is cast into the lake of fire. He fights that. He cannot stand it. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is, she's the bride. She's the Eve that's been restored. She's perfect. She's white. She's sinless. She don't even have a wrinkle in her skirt. I'm quoting Bible. Amen. Telling you what the Bible's already said about you. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is and what she stands for and that she can do the greater work, she will be an invincible army. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, that's what I'm telling you. We reading this every time because that spirit is not out yonder. It's right here. But if we can what? Withstand that and by God's spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her. That's why I said a couple of Sundays ago, and I want to, if I don't take any more time than this, I want to tell you one more time, it will revolutionize your life if you'll get the sin out of your life. Amen. Oh, I've been in a message 45. That attitude is a sin. Amen. Amen? If we get all that out of our life, call a brother up if you think you've talked about him or don't like him. Sisters, quit gossiping. Brothers, you do the same thing. I'm just throwing it out there because I'm telling you, I'm still in my body. I got something going on. But in my soul, it is at rest. Because when you clean that baby up and you start on the inside, let God start on the inside. You know Satan's right here. So you don't have to wonder where Satan is. Sometimes we have to wonder, sometimes when, Lord, where are you? Brother Claude, the other night he called me and he said he was hurting so bad with that gallbladder. He said, Lord, where are you at? I just want to see you just for a second. He was crying like a baby. He said, please take me out of this world. But you see that he had to get to a place to where he said, be it unto me according to thy word, Lord. I'm here for some purpose. You haven't taken me out of the world. I may have to lose my gallbladder. I may have to lose my mind. But you understand that's the same way you and I have to get. If there's something that's bothering us in our life, you need to get it out. You say, oh, it hurts. Yeah, but boy, once they take Claude's gallbladder out in a few months, oh, he's going to feel so much better. But as long as that thing's in there, festering, I'm telling you, it will make you feel better on the inside. Whether you feel better on the outside, that's up to God to help you do that. But like Bob said, and like Brother Dale's even said before, this thing is subject to a lot. Amen. It was born in sin. It's getting older. I got pains where I never had pains before. I got gray hair. But what does that matter? If we know where we came from, that we came from that Genesis 1:26 man. And if you take a picture of me when I was 20 years old, that's what I am to God. Amen. That's what I am to God. And that's what you'll see. That's what we'll all see. We'll all see it's not old anymore. I thank God that Brother Tatum don't have to walk in here with his, some of you didn't see him, but arthritis had turned his fingers sideways. I can't even do it, but these fingers were turned sideways and he couldn't do nothing but just barely shake your hand. You'll never see that again. That was because of the fall, but because of the decision he made probably 50 or 75 years ago, that young man's going to come back into this dimension and he's not going to have nothing to worry about. He can walk in right in the middle of a nuclear explosion. Nothing, no weapon formed will destroy you. And you will not leave this world, just like I said before. If the footsteps of the righteous are ordered to the Lord, you cannot leave this world until you're done. I don't care what it is. I don't care if God lays you on your back for years. Until your walk is done, until your last thing you have to do is done, you're going to be here. That's why I believe Brother Branham said, death don't bother me no more. Look where I'm going. And he was only 56 years old. And he was ready to go home. But you and I, we get a true revelation. Look at number two, the greatest battle ever fought. The great first battle that was ever fought began in heaven when Michael and his angels fought against Lucifer and his angels. It first started, the first battle was in heaven. So sin didn't originate on earth, it originated in heaven. So then it was thrown down from earth. That's why the Bible says heaven and earth will pass away. Then it was thrown down from heaven, cast out of heaven. It's got to be clean, not done away with, but clean, same thing as the earth. And fell on human beings. Then the battle, see, that's our battle. The greatest battle ever fought is where? Right here. Right here. All right. An expedition of the seven church ages. Let's continue down through. Let me get to one point and then we'll stop. An expedition. Hey, Bob went an hour and 40 minutes. I think I can too. And y'all started sleeping on me 10 minutes after that. So, did you get it? There are those twins again. Thought we was going to get to talk about twins, but we'll get to it next Sunday. There are those two trees again growing side by side in the same earth, partaking of the same nourishment, drinking in the same rain. Remember the tares and the wheat. And benefiting by the same sun. But they come from different seeds. One tree is for the word of God, exactly as God give it, and loves it and obeys it. The other tree is from the seed that is anti the word of God and changes it where it wants to. You know, you talk to people about the message and talk about the different things in scripture. And if you start quoting scripture to them, they'll try to quote you some back, right? Cause they're going to fight. They're going to fight. Especially if it's dress and hair and baptism in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to fight. Why? At that time, they're from a different seed than you are. I said at that time. That doesn't mean that they can't be saved. But see, you can't walk away, though, and say, well, that old serpent seed. No, give it some time. Give it some time. Let them run it around. And you know what? If they're truly part of that Genesis 1:26, that mind of God, God's obligated to go get them. He's obligated to get his children. He won't let that. God will not. There won't be a child left behind of God's children on this earth. When we take a rapture, they won't be one. He said, I got every one of them engraved right here in the palm of my hand. What a surety that we should have. The other tree is from the seed that is anti the word of God and changes it where it wants to. That's why I believe when Brother Brown started preaching, this is the exposition of the church ages. And when the seals opened, he knew that Antichrist spirit was in those denominations out there. But remember, it come into here. Now we're fighting quotes with quotes. We're wondering whether Brother Branham was the prophet of the end time. And I'm not saying we, but I'm saying there is two opposing forces now in the message of the hour. You can't hardly get three or four people together without an argument beginning. Over what? Quotes. They can quote just as much as you can quote. But I'm telling you, the true seed will always show its fruit. By their fruit, you will know them. All right? It substitutes its own creeds and dogmas for the living true word exactly as did Cain, who ended up killing Abel. But fear not, little flock. Stay with the word. Keep that word between you and the devil. Eve did not do that, and she failed. And when the church lets down on the word, she goes into the depths of the darkness of Satan. That's, to me, that's pretty powerful. When the church lets down on the word, she goes into the depths of the darkness. What is the darkness of Satan? Oh, it's because this prostitute and drunk and The very darkness of Satan, Jesus said, that light that's in you, if it be darkness, how great is that darkness? If you think you got light, because remember, Satan is what? He's light. He's changed into an angel of light, ministers of light. What's the most deception? Me get up here today and preach that Jesus was the second person of the Trinity? That's not going to fool you. Especially if you've known what's going on, if you've been in the message more than 2 or 3 weeks. But what if I bring a doctrine in here that's just about that much off? Oh, you were always that, you were born with an eternal seed in you, and boy, don't that just, and it does, it makes people shout and feel good. It makes feel good that you, listen, I believe in eternal security, but I believe you got to receive it. Amen. And I know you do too, but think about what's going on in other parts of the message world. Satan is here. Like I said, the god of this evil age is here to deceive, try to deceive us. It deceived the very elect if it were possible. If you're the very elect, then he's got his guns trained right on you. All right? Now, let's go and look. Remember the law of reproduction. That's what we're talking about. Because remember, when we get to those two twins, the law of reproduction has to take over. Every seed will bring forth of its kind. Because the first set of twins that were born were of two definitely different male seeds. Everybody got that? Cain was the beast seed, literally. Literally, because the beast had an act with Eve and injected in her. And then Adam had relations, and here comes Cain and Abel. But that's the apex then. That we look at and we see that Jacob and Esau came from what? Isaac and Rebecca? Can't get all that right. But anyway, they came from the same mom and daddy, but it was two spirits. See, then you bring from natural. See, you can't run natural seed lines because remember, Tower of Babel, all these different things, the sons of God saw the daughters of men. They started intermingling, and everything got all messed up and convoluted. And then all of a sudden, here they come out on the other side of the flood. And you got Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And they repopulated the world. So you got all that mingled in. So forget the natural seed line. Forget about it. Right now, we cannot, none of you decided that you were going to get here. Not a person. I'm talking about from Bill Gates, Donald Trump, I don't care who it is. We all got here the same way. And we didn't know who we were before. But once we get here, once I grow, once I develop, and I remember I grew up in the house of a man called Samuel Dale. And I grew up in the house of a mama called Peggy Dale. So I hope I'm part of that family. I am, because you know what? I look like my mom and daddy. By your fruits, you'll be known. But see, if you say, well, now I don't know who my daddy was, and some of you may not. That don't matter. It doesn't matter. God used a man and a woman to get together to get you here. Then you got a choice to make. I don't care. Your mom and daddy's full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but you sure weren't. Right? You weren't either. You weren't either. And you weren't either. You got to make your own choice. Absolutely. Once you come forth out of the womb, you're a person.
Yes.
And you got to make a choice. Well, my mama and daddy was William Branham and Meta. I don't mean one thing to God. He does not keep a natural logbook. But he knew that he needed to use what? A Branham? A drunk? Quoting Brother Branham. Come from a line of drunks that fought and died with their boots on. Ignorant. But you know, God said, I got to bring them together because that's what he looked like. That genetic makeup has to match what's inside because you're going to look just like you were at 20 years old. You're not going to look like somebody else. So God had to bring... What was the daddy, William Branham? What was his daddy's name? Huh?
Charles
and Ella. That's why Brother Brown one day, he said, he wasn't denying his natural birth. He said, I found out I wasn't a son of Charles and Ella Brown. Why? But remember, that was in almost the last message that he preached. In 1965, he figured out, and I say figured out, he had a real revelation that that wasn't his real mom and daddy. Though he genetically was tied to them, that genetic part matched what the genetic part of that Genesis 1:26 man. Boy, I wish y'all could get that, those sermons that Daddy preached, about 40 of them back in 1995 on matching pieces, about how this had to match this. That's what we're coming to. You got to get to a place where you match what God saw. And when you match what God saw, that's it. The ones just passed on. You know what? They matched what God saw. And they couldn't go any further because God saw that in his mind. You say, well, then we don't have a choice. Yeah, you do have a choice. You have a real choice. Amen? Sorry, you do. Everything's made by choices. So let's read Genesis 5 verse 1. The law of reproduction, sorry. The herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind whose seed is in itself. So we understand the law of reproduction is that if there is a seed planted in good ground or womb or wherever you want to say, it's going to come forth of what that seed is genetically made of. Why do you think now we're into this DNA and genetics and why you can even go now and they can test you and see if you're susceptible to cancer or heart attack just by your DNA? Why? Because you're connected to that natural line of man. I say man, but mankind. You're directed to that natural mankind. And they can track. Oh, if they can do that. If they can track naturally where you come from. And what you're susceptible of getting or not getting. Why can't we believe that God's already protected us, knew where we come from, knew where we were going to be here, and knew where we were going? That's the law of reproduction. And then by your first birth, you died. But by your second birth, you died. I'm sorry, by your first birth, you will die. Sorry. By your second birth, you died. So you're dead. You're dead to the world. The Bible says dead to the world, alive in Christ. Amen. That's what it, that to me, see, that's the whole plan. When you were born from your mom and daddy, good parents, you were born dead. Because you're going to die eventually if you keep going on. And if you just keep doing what you're doing, me and you both would have died at an early age. But God didn't want that. He preserved us for some silly reason. I don't know what it is. But anyway, so you come to that birth. Doesn't have much your mom and daddy loved you and they took care of you. You come to a place to where you had to make your own choice. Right here. Because you know what? God didn't see them two. I mean, he saw them two, but he saw you two. But you didn't realize it until you received the new birth. And then you can connect back to your parents or anybody, your uncles, aunts, whatever you want to call it. And this is your family now. When you got born again, you opened up a whole nother family. You ever went to a family reunion and get born again and go to a family reunion? You ever remember that? When you go to a family reunion, you go, man, everything's kind of strange around here. And they're looking at you going, what happened to you? Where's that long hair? Where's that beer in your hand, a cigarette in your mouth? You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because you are reborn. This is my whole point. We'll close right. You are reborn by a spiritual seed that no way your mother and father on this earth could ever give you. But when you're reborn, it doesn't do away with your first birth. Totally. You're still in this shell. But it turns it to where that same hand that used to hold a beer and throw them signals up, that same hand you use to hold that microphone to sing the praises of God. And that's what God wanted. That's the gap that he's filling back in, and Satan cannot understand that. How many times when you got born again, same thing happened to me. Did the devil just leave you alone? Oh, he didn't? You mean he gets caught right there and Oh, bless your heart. Well, you did me too, buddy, because Brother Ram said he takes every gun. He says, all right, you used to do what I wanted to do. Now you're not. What's the problem? Fills you full of everything. He's done every one of us the same way. But he cannot touch that soul. By the law of reproduction, you have changed and been transformed into the image of God. And listen, folks, to me, that's all he sees. That's all God sees. He sees you have been regened. Paul said, follow me in the regeneration. What is regeneration? It regened you. It gave you that one, Genesis 1:26, gene of eternal life. Right here. That is so simple, folks, but so profound that the devil is probably, he may not be right here, he may be right here, but he can't understand that. And I like it that way. If it makes him mad, that's okay. Because you know what? He can't get you again. He got you here by deception the first time. And God allowed that to happen because of what happened in the garden. He didn't say, now, Adam and Eve, you can't touch each other again. No, he had to still go by that right there, the law of reproduction. And Satan knew that. That's why he could get in the human race. He knew that if there was a seed planted, something had to come out, and there had to be given life to it. God had to give life to Cain. Doesn't matter how he was born or what happened act-wise. A seed went into the bedding ground, and God had to give it life. He knew that. Same way with me and you. He knew he had to give us life. But he knew on the end that plan and purpose that when you matched what he saw before the foundation of the world, it changed you back into that Genesis 1:26 man. Oh, it didn't make us younger, except on the inside. It gave you eternal life by the law of reproduction. Every seed must bring forth of its kind. You love the Lord? We'll put this off and we'll start right there on Sunday. If you'll stand to your feet, musicians come. Remember, everything, musicians come on, everything started in the book of Genesis. So if you want to look back and see, I can see, do you know I can see where I started in my natural birth in the book of Genesis? And I can see where I started in my spiritual birth. Because my spiritual birth came first in the mind of God. Genesis 1:26, let us make man our own image. When he said that, it couldn't be taken away from. But God was projecting it down, and then here comes Adam in a body of flesh, and then takes out Eve in a body of flesh to reproduce Adam because she was woman, man with a womb. But where was Mary's womb involved? Mary's natural womb was not involved until her spiritual womb was contacted first. Same way with Eve. Satan knew if he could get Eve to listen to what he said, that he, by her emotion, would do exactly what she did. And God knew it too, but he couldn't stop her because she wouldn't be a free moral agent. Amen? Listen, God don't stop you from doing things. He puts the word in front of you. He puts the word in front of you, and then what did Brother Brown say? He said, you got to walk over Calvary to get to hell. Crawl over Calvary to get to hell. So you, and think about that. Every person that comes to the white throne judgment, he'll tell them the day, the hour, I came to you, and you turned me down. So therefore, you go that way. But oh, what about that time though when you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? You didn't just receive the new birth, you received the judge. Because the saints will judge angels. The saints will judge the world. And when you look in Revelations 21 or 2, it says that there we were. And the books were open. And we were all standing there. And everybody was judged out of that book. You and I, we're not judged out of that book. We are the book. We are the book. The eternal section that nobody can touch. You listen, if you're born again, you're not foolish virgin. You're not cup of water in my name. You're not give, you already have eternal life. And that seed remains in you and you cannot sin. Why? God can't make you sin. Brother Brown said, if we sin on our own. He said, we have to go out to the devil if we're going to sin. Right? Let's stay behind the Word of God. But that law of reproduction, I want you to think about that. We have been regenerated and regened by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You are a different person. You're a new creature. I'm quoting scripture. You're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We're sitting in heavenly places. Do you know that soul that you got is not sitting in this world? It's just caught by what's on the outside because of the law of reproduction. Your mom and daddy got you here, and then God come down one day and said, hey, you're a part of my family. I want you to be a part of my family. No, he didn't say that. He said, you are a part of my family. He said, I just want you to realize that. And then what do? You say, what Brother Brown said, Papa God, be it unto me according to thy word. Nothing involved but the womb of your mind accepting the seed word of God. This is the only seed God's got. He don't have natural seed. He's a spiritual seed. The spoken word is the original seed. Please get that in you. And you'll understand what are we doing? We're trying to understand where we came from. Because ask a person on the street. I'm sorry. Ask a person on the street, where'd you come from? They're going to say, my mom and daddy. You say, no, where'd your life come from? Your life didn't come from your mom and daddy. Your mama produced, your daddy produced the sperm, and your mama produced the egg, and you had a body that came here. But where'd your life come from? Oh, it just somehow. Now, come on. But you and I. You and I, somebody, I wish somebody would ask me that question. I'd take them back to Genesis 1:26, and I'd say, right there is where I came from. That's why I'm doing here, and that's where I'm going back to. We're the only people that know that. Nobody in this world, they walk through this world just oblivious of where they came from or even where they're going. But you and I don't, because we have a purpose. We are the true church that understands what we're doing here. When we do that, we'll be an invincible army. Let's sing a song. God bless you.
The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight.
What page is it on?
John.
214 in the Bible book. I like this song. Everything right. Listen to this. I gave him my old tattered garments. I want you to sing it. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting today on the manna. And that's why I'm happy tonight. Listen now. The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. For there's joy, joy, joy in my heart. For Jesus makes everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment.
Yes, sir.
A robe of pure white, and I'm feasting today on the manna, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight.
For there's
joy, joy, joy in my heart.
For Jesus makes everything right. We pray that you'd touch him now and bless him and be with him all the things that he does. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You go for
it. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting today.
First time I heard that song was at Brother Claude's. They sing it all the time. It's just so neat. The windows of heaven open. Jesus makes everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. What's the old tattered garment? This thing right here. And he gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting today. I'm eating the food, the spiritual food in due season. I'm feasting today on the manna, and that's why I'm happy tonight. Oh, listen, folks, I'm telling you, this, the world has given us a pressure. But God told us that we could take this pressure. He told us we were built for this. We were astronauts. We were built for the pressure of the day. And Satan is a liar. He can't tell the truth. He can twist it. But what's going on in the world today, take it positive because it's moving us to get out of here. Amen? And I was thinking, you know, when they said about Brother Dale and different ones, well, if, you know, you go ahead and have the thing, get it over with, ain't gonna have it no more. And he's fine. There's no problem. Everything's good. Same way with all the other brothers and sisters. Everything's good. Just things that we have to go through because we do still live under the curse. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So we pray that the overcoming power of God will take over and that we'll walk in the light of the world, in, of the word of God and feast on the manna. Because look, what else is left? What else have we got? We can't depend on the government. We can't depend on our doctor. We can't depend on the hospital. We can't depend on the healthcare system. We can't depend on the economy. Who are we going to depend on? Brother Darty, for all your life, you've depended on God. So we just need to keep depending on God. Depend on Him. He's the one that gives life. He's the one that gives you breath. And He's the one that's going to sustain you until your walk's done. And we're praying that our walk will walk us right out of here and that we don't have to go by the grave. If we don't go by the grave, guess what? We have overcome everything. There's not a disease that's going to bother us. There's not a coronavirus strong enough unless God's finished with us. And I don't believe God's finished with Brother Dale. I don't believe He's finished with none of us. Amen? Because we have a purpose for being here. I believe we all do. Everybody. You have a purpose. You, everybody has a purpose in this building to do what? Proclaim the fruit of the seed that was planted in you at your new birth. And if it come from God, it's going back to God. Amen? That's why ye are gods. You're God made manifest in another form called bride. We got to realize that. We got to realize that. Oh, I'm feasting today on the manna. And that's why I'm happy tonight. Sing it as you're dismissed. The windows of heaven.